This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
With Karen and Chris.
Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgariff.
Hello, Karen Kilgariff. That is Chris, how you say your name.
Stop making fun of me.
A lot of people come up to me and they say Kilgariff. What the hell's up with that?
A lot of people. How many people?
Do they go...
15 people at once?
If there's a problem in their town, do they go see the local sheriff? You know what I mean?
Like, it's, I mean, yes, easy. I do.
I get furious with them right away when they mess it up.
You should please attack them in the face area if they mispronounce my
last
name.
In your honor, I yell as I punch.
In your
Karen's honor.
How are you doing these days?
I'm doing great. I've been, golfing a lot. I got a package today, by the way, from
friend
Lauren Cannon, who works for the 49ers. And I'll show you mine first. It's a jersey with my name on it.
Oh my God, a 49ers jersey?
Yeah, a real one.
You've always loved the Niners.
Well, you know, I don't follow football or care about it, but I'm amazing at throwing a football. I enjoy throwing spirals, and another box came too, and look whose name is on this one.
Kilgariff!
Yeah! It's Kilgariff! It says Kilgariff on it.
I'm thrilled. You know what? That is actually going to go over big in my family because,
I know,
of course, Bay Area, right? Represent.
If for no other reason, just to show it to your dad and like, check it out, fuck nuts!
that literally scared me.
I don't know where
way.
It came from. I think
there's
I was
no
channeling
way.
An old Jimmy Pardo joke.
This
where he gets a check and he shows it to Danielle and he's like, look at this, fuck nuts. Time to start carrying your weight. That's a Jimmy Pardo joke. And it entered my brain.
Oh, I love it.
You said you had a story before we bring our guests back. Do you still want to?
Yes, it's going to go quickly, but my dog, George, is part lab, part hound. And she is very neurotic. She's got some problems. And one of the things, can you see her?
Uh-huh.
One of the things that she does and always has done, even at my old house, is she loves to dig a hole. And not just like a little hole like you imagine a dog digging. At the other house, she dug a hole under my patio cement where her entire body would disappear. She was like tunneling under the patio. And we call it the project because she just won't stop doing it. And I kind of don't try to get her to stop.
Yeah.
So we moved. Of course, moving to a new house, she picks a new project and she's been digging behind this tree. I've lived here for 2 years and I can't get her to stop, and I'll catch her and try to be mean to her, but I never actually discipline these dogs in any way. And So she's just been, so I told, I have a lady that's re-landscaping my backyard because there's all this shit that's dead and I have to redo it. And so I was like, and this tree, I think my dog is either killing or like has killed. Like this tree is in crisis because my dog won't stop digging.
Or maybe so, that's why digging is happening, because she knows there's like root rot or something.
No, listen to this. But uh-huh. good guess, because uh-huh. listen to this. The landscaping lady brought a tree expert, and the tree expert told, she like stuck her head in my house and goes, Karen, I have to tell you something. She was laughing her ass off. The tree expert goes, this tree is too tall to be built in this area. Cause it's like, there's a, you know, there's almost like a patio ceiling near it that's keeping it low. He goes, they actually, planted it buried way too high on the root system. So the tree has been choking to death slowly, and your dog digging behind it has aerated the root system, and your dog brought this tree back to life by digging this hole. What I've been yelling at her for.
Trees scream at some frequency that only yes, dogs recognize, and they're maybe asking for help?
And she's like an EMT, a tree EMT, where she's like, first of all, check out these nails you haven't trimmed in 2 years. Let me get back there and do this tree a favor. And literally he goes, your dog has saved this tree and you should get her to do it around the front, because then it would completely grow and be green all the time. How insane is that?
Yeah, it'd be funny if she was like, and it was done with such surgical precision that I refuse to believe your dog wasn't in a past life some arborist.
Every Arbor Day, George gets very formal.
Salutes, right? Gets on that one hind leg and salutes.
I would say that my dog George's passion is trees, and I guess it always has been. And I just didn't see her as who she was.
That is the best.
Yeah.
Saving the day.
Don't you think we should introduce our guests now that we
I think it was perfect. That story really was nice, great, by the way, and it came to a nice conclusion, and I just kind of dropped the ball. I couldn't think of a tree
beginning,
segment.
Middle, and end.
Well,
no,
I know two other people that are growing healthily in the podcast and comedy scene. Our guests today.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, they both are getting holding deals at CBS, but we'll talk about it after. They are the hosts of the new podcast, Truth Hounds. Please welcome Kyle Mazzono and Anna Saragina.
Yay!
Hi, thanks for having us.
Hi.
Hi, guys. Hi.
Hi, guys.
What a journey.
Anna, are you still my neighbor?
No!
You moved?
I moved.
Where the hell'd you go?
Okay, I left you. I go, leave him alone. Leave him behind.
She was always hanging out near my garage.
I'm always hanging out near Chris's garage.
Loitering?
Loitering.
Well, walking by, going to work and things.
Yeah. One time I ran into you. I really sincerely had not seen a person in a really long time.
Neither had I remember this. Yeah.
And I took a chance. My thesis for today is don't take a chance. I took a chance. I go, something so weird happened. I have to tell someone. Again, hadn't seen Chris since the pandemic had begun. You know, always very excited to see Chris. It's not anything about that. But I go, Chris, I haven't seen you in quite some time. Do you have 10 to 15 minutes for a quick story of something?
Oh, the neighbor. What was it? Yeah. Can you tell it again?
Well, the story, I mean, boy howdy, the story is not very good, but basically right before I moved from my apartment and is that okay to say?
Yeah.
Where I was your neighbor? Okay.
Yeah, come and get me. Come and get me.
I'm sorry.
I have knives and pepper spray, and I'm kind of unfriendly at the door.
Okay, right before I moved from my house, this neighbor had just moved in. And she was a replacement to a neighbor who had given me such grief for so long. He was a guy who rocked. And by that, I mean, we both lived in studio apartments, and he would plug into an amp and play like Blackbird for, no exaggeration, 7 hours. just the beginning of Blackbird for about 7 hours. One time he played the Little Mermaid theme song. You know, just one time he played an Apple ringtone. So anyway, this is a guy.
He is a rocker.
This guy rocks. And One time I finally told him to turn it down and he goes, do you know who I had in here the other week? Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top. So anyway, so that guy moved. I was so happy. I was over the moon because this guy...
Wait, sorry.
How did you? Bill Gibbons was in his house.
Yeah, exactly. But also, how did you come back from that devastating rejoinder? Like, what Lord, the
I'm
fuck?
So glad you asked. I said, I paused. I swallowed really hard. I thought about how this is my moment to shine. And I go, you know what? I'm sure all of us has had somebody very impressive in our apartments throughout the years, but it's really not about that right now.
You're like a grammar school principal, just handling shit in a mature fashion.
I've been dreaming about handling it with this guy. I mean, this guy, he's like, would wear a tiny vest. I heard him say one time I would hear him bring Tinder dates over all the time. And we lived right on, I think that's okay to say at this point.
Yeah.
And he would bring Tinder dates over all the time. And I heard him say the same thing to every Tinder date, the place isn't that big because it's a studio. He'd go, the place isn't really that big, but, and then he'd open the front door, show the Tinder date the lake and go, but this is my living room.
Oh, what a dork. And then he'd go right into Blackbird.
And then you're looking at 7 to 8 hours of Blackbirds.
Oh my God. So he left and you got replaced. Was it better or worse?
So he leaves and I'm like, this is going to be, whoever this is an angel. I'm going to give them a gift basket just because they're them. And it is, and I should be happy and I should be really, really happy. And it looks like a woman in her 30s and she has Vans tapestry on her wall. So I go, okay, she rocks, but in a way that, you know, that I can really get behind.
Yeah,
she rocks on my terms.
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine my surprise and dismay when, and I feel like I can't even complain about this because the guy was so bad. But the thing about her is that she has all these succulents. I don't hate it yet. I think that's fine. She has like, I don't know, 10 to 15 small succulents. And I can't explain this to you, but she rearranges them like 3 times a day in a way that is so jarring where I'm like, what is going on here? Because in the morning, they're arranged in one way. I know because one's a little pot of an elephant. It's facing, let's say, west. When I come back home 3 hours later, the elephant's turned around. Its compatriots are crowded around him in a different way. She just rearranges these succulents like for no reason, 3 to 4 times a day. And it's so weird. And it's like only I would notice, you know, because I'm her next door neighbor.
Yeah. Is anyway, she chasing or avoiding the sun?
I think she.
ADD?
I think she was doing meth, it turned out, afterward.
Yes.
In a past life, she just knows she can hear the plants screaming. She used
like
to be
George.
A dog.
Yeah, exactly.
She's trying to make them happy.
Wait, but it turns out she was on meth? Because I have a friend who I had a similar experience where I went to their house and everyone suspected that the people that lived in the house were all kind of secretly doing meth. And we got there and the whole front of the house was like decorated with sparkly shit, but not like, it wasn't like, oh, they went and bought one bag of some decoration. It was like a bottle was hung here and a bottle cap was over there. It was like, I walked in, I was like, they're all on so much meth. Like,
yes,
that's what happens is these little projects and these things become important that it's like, this is going to look beautiful. And it's like, you're hanging Budweiser bottles from a tree.
Exactly. Oh, okay. Now, this is not like George's special project of freeing the screaming tree. This is like, I have a vision. I have a 7 a.m., 4 a.m., 12 a.m. vision. And
it's succulent vision.
It makes meth seem like less of a problem in society when all it does is make you craft, you know.
Big on crafting.
Like, it's the hour that you craft because that's violence. Like you can't just keep doing it at these hours where everyone else in humanity is, if not sleeping, resting.
Absolutely. And I'm trying to get my rest in from the years that I was living next to ZZ Top's Billy Gibbons' singing in the friend. It was amazing. So I hadn't seen a person in a while, and I ran into Chris, and I had to, you know, I gave him basically what I just gave here. I gave the breakdown. I gave the past neighbor.
I was in the car. You asked me to get out of the car. You motioned for me to get out so I could hear this story.
Oh, you know, should I park down the block? I go, keep her running. Keep her running.
Anyway. That sounds like a great, especially if you both hadn't seen. This was like deep in the beginning of Quar.
This was...
It was just like a year in.
Yeah.
It was mid-Quar.
Pre-seeing people again, but...
Yes. Yeah.
But, yeah.
I've been seeing people occasionally, and Karen and I were talking about this.
Sorry.
Like,
what? I have to stop you.
Yeah.
Are you not going to give the other side of what that experience was like with Anna?
Oh, yes. Thank of you, course. Karen. I can't believe I forgot. And you set
well, I'm
me
just
up
saying.
And, no, you're right.
It sounds like she was trying to tell you about somebody. Was she the one that seemed like she was on meth?
All
like, I want to know the real story.
The storytelling of it, there was a lot more passion at the time because it had just happened. She had just seen her rearranging them in the tweet. That morning, it was an especially tweaky rearrangement. She was really yacked out on the rowdy powder, and she'd smoked out of a light bulb, I think you said. And then so she was laughing while telling it because it had just happened. So it's hard to retell those stories in the moment. At the time, it was fresh.
So if you hadn't seen another person, then I accost you and I tell you this kind of beautiful kind of drug story.
I loved it. It was one of the better interactions. I was like, finally, I went to a party, I said, as you walked away.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's what
and
we
Karen
want.
Karen and
what
I kept nightmare. Saying, we're going to appreciate it so much when we're at parties. We're going to go to, and I had a show last night. It was outdoors, but, and I was just right back to judging the audience for not laughing. I'm right back at square one.
Big time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just
welcome
right
to
where
humanity.
I've not
welcome
learned
to the brotherhood
anything.
Of man.
I know. I
none
changed.
Of us learn. It's
I haven't
true.
Learned shit.
You will I just will. Like, you know, open up to Anna and her stories. Wait, so just to close it out, just to close the circuit on this, you don't have that neighbor anymore, I imagine.
No. Oh, so my kind of big thesis is that I moved. So.
Oh, you moved. That was the
so
point.
So I did move. Yeah, that was my point.
Got you.
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
So I won't be. Do you not work down the street anymore then either?
I'm on a sabbatical.
Sure, for religious
I've taken
reasons.
At least, yeah. Yes.
Sabbaticals are always for religious reasons, right?
This one's for religious reasons.
Yeah.
You know what, actually? If I may very quickly say this, I was bartending and it's the first time I've been bartending for over 10 years. And it's the first time that I've gotten to take a year, or I guess a year and a half away from it. And when I came back, I found myself so deeply hating this one regular, this guy. I just was looking at him and I was like, look at this fucking guy. I hate him so much. I hate his voice. I hate how he smells. I hate how he's looking at me. I hate when he's not looking at me. And then I thought, like, I don't want to care. I don't want to hate this guy. I don't care, you know? And that is my pandemic lesson.
And maybe you'd become good friends with him in a grocery store, but when people are down at that bar, they're often on their worst behavior.
They really are. I get Kyle, that was my treat, but Kyle would come in and would observe and get to sit in the corner and really take in and be like, who do you hate in here?
Yeah. What's the vision that pops in your head if we were to ask you of the horrible things you've seen in Anna's bar? Or not even, doesn't have to be horrible, but just something memorable that stuck out to you.
Well, I always really liked going to her bar. I don't drink, but I liked going there because she would always make me a huge soda water and say, this is on the house. Like, so every time she would do that, I go, is this on the house though?
Sometimes Kyle would saddle up in the corner. She has a special spot where others aren't allowed. And she would order, and I'd go, oh, with, did you want five limes? And she'd go, yeah. And then, can this one be on the house this time? And I'd go, yeah.
And then you would slide it down the bar like in a saloon. Oh, yeah.
Cool stuff.
Oh, very cool style.
So nothing like, I feel like I was, because I would go kind of, I wouldn't go during crazy time. I feel like I wouldn't see all the bad stuff going down.
Yeah, she saw the highlights.
Let's talk about some of the bad stuff. We haven't mentioned this before.
What we're looking for is a bar story. Slapping, barfing.
We don't know the bar. It's somewhere in Los Angeles.
We don't know.
A bullet. Someone came back to and shot through the door, and someone got hit in the leg with a bullet. Is that not true?
That actually is true.
And
in your bar?
Yes. Yeah.
I think about that pretty much every time I'm sitting in that exact stool where you can see the bullet.
That happened during, not to tell tales out of school, but Chris Garcia's wedding, because I was at Chris Garcia's wedding. I took the shift off.
Oh, so you would have been there.
I would have been there.
Ooh, and you missed it.
And I missed it for love. I'm sorry, you know?
Love saved your leg.
I thought you were saying someone, it was at the wedding party. Someone had a gun. Like, at the wedding, they had a gun salute.
Not to tell
the bride and groom walked down a row of riflemen. And then one of them got excited that night, and there was a discharge.
Shot the bride. There was the bride.
Hey, shot the garter off her leg. It's an old tradition.
Yeah.
Oh,
I
my
love those
gosh.
Those bars though in that neighborhood, because they are, a lot of them are old and dark, and you get the vibe of how long asses have been sitting in those seats, you know what I mean? Just like leaning against that bar. And I miss bar culture so much, because I was just a very young, dynamic alcoholic in my 20s to the blackout degree. It really did it solidly from 20 to 27 and lived in bars like that. Like I thought about it all day long. And then I would get in there, I would drink four beers real fast, start doing shots, start threatening like bouncers and shit. Like I just did it hard every night, and I really loved it. Like, I remember thinking, I'll never stop doing this. Like, people are now starting to tell me they're worried about me, and I'll never stop doing this. And then it was like, of course, I had to stop doing it. But like, it can be so fun when the elements come together correctly. Like, I'll quickly tell you my favorite bar story in a good way. We saw our friend Greg Barrett's band, across the street at this club that was on Melrose, right past Vine. And then Smalls was up the street from that music club. So you would go to see bands play. So we all walk in, and everyone's just being cool, right? Everyone's like, no one's looking at each other. There's a DJ, but playing like very like chill music or whatever. And so, but we're already kind of drunk and like up from the club or whatever. So we're just kind of being a little bit loud and standing around, and all the people that are there kind of like looking over their shoulder. And then kind of like the next thing I remember is me and my friend, the DJ, instead of playing something just instrumental, played like a Michael Jackson song. And me and my friend Danny just like looked at each other and just knew the second we made eye contact, and we're like, fucking, we're dancing, and we don't care that no one else is dancing, and no one in this bar is dancing at all. And we started a dance party that night at Smalls that at one point my friend Danny and I, who started it, were asked by the club owner to come back and start a dance party the next week on the same night. And we were like, we kept calling ourselves paid professional dancers after that. But it was purely just we were just drunk enough to not care, but not so drunk that we were fucking anything up. It was the perfect pocket. And then all these super cool hipster fake people of Los Angeles realized, we don't want to be cool and fake and hipster. We want to have fun. And everybody got on that fucking dance floor. And it was the most magical night that, like, for no reason on a Thursday, and it never happened again. It was one of my favorite things of all time.
That is the best.
Yeah, that's the best. Wow. That sounds good.
How come you didn't go? how come you didn't go back and take him off the offer?
Yeah. Well,
why do I speak like that? I don't know. I have issues.
You're the offer. I liked it. It was really formal. Because I think we thought we were going to hear from him. Like, here's the plan. If you show up at 10:30, yeah. Because it was really funny. He was just drunk as we were. Cause it turned into this weird, like, suddenly this truly is a party. Like, to me, that's what showing up at a bar is all about, yeah. is like, maybe something great will happen, but it yes. almost never does.
Right.
But everyone, I feel like if you could get everyone to be honest, you could get them to admit like, yeah, I'm here. I hope to make out with someone. I hope someone looks across the bar at me and starts asking me, you know, all these questions. Or, like, you want connection, but no, everyone's so cool in LA and yeah. so deep down actually lame that no one's ever going to be so cool that they're like, I'm a fucking dance. It's yeah. Michael Jackson. We have no choice. Like, yeah. but it was just this perfect amount of, it wasn't too crowded that people felt insanely insecure. It was almost like 40 people who all went fuck it at the same time. Yeah. It was genius. Yeah,
you tore down those walls. I don't want you addict again. I don't want you to drink again, but the version of you that you just described, I would have liked to have met.
Dude.
Doing shots and threatening security and then starting a dance party. I'm like, Karen, I know that you, can you please just do that sometimes?
I know. Believe me, there's no one more brokenhearted than sober me, or not drinking me, I should say. Because it was really yeah, fun
sure.
until, you know, the seizures set in. Everybody
sure.
take care of yourselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we have a big part of it.
Dare I say, we have a little bit of a, I drink a little, not, mostly I'm basically sober now at this point, so I mainly don't drink, but Kyle and I have perfected a night out that is, I mean, you're at a bar. If that's a requirement, we can get you to a bar.
Yeah, but, it often is.
This night's probably going to cost you about, I mean, you're looking at $60 in the end. This is a $60 Uh-oh. Night.
What are we talking about?
We can guarantee you the most fun, no one has to drink, night, I think.
Is it buying $60 of balloons?
That is really okay. nice.
Just a guess.
I like
just
that.
A guess.
I
just
really
a
like,
guess.
I really like that.
$59 worth of balloons and then yeah. $1 scratch.
And then one tip for the balloon man. There you go.
And then you want a tip, of course. Yeah. Okay. Is it okay that I tell them?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember how, like, we decided to go do this. I think I know what you're talking about.
You must know what I'm talking about.
But how did we get there? I just wonder, like, what... I forget why we decided to go do that. I don't remember.
Chris, what do you think it is? $60?
Yeah, you guys should
Dodger?
Yes.
Dodgers game?
Did no. you buy... pizzas for everyone.
I wish. That's a really good idea.
Yeah, like buy
pizza,
hey, pizza's here.
What if you're like, pizza pass down? Out
at the beginning of the night, you decide tonight we're just gonna, no matter which way you look at it, it's a $60 night, so that could be to pizzas, that could be to yeah. for a round of drinks. By the way, one time in San Francisco, I walked into a friend of mine was DJing at this bar, cool alert, next door to a pizza place, and I walked into the bar to say I had my friend with a full pizza, and I was like, God, someone's going to say something. It's so annoying. And I walk in, the door person doesn't say anything, but I see my friend there. I'm making my way to them. Almost no one said anything. And then some bro goes, cool pizza. And I just,
cool pizza.
I didn't know you could.
Oh,
cool
fuck that
cool.
guy. It's why I have cool this restaurant.
Pizza.
I don't like strangers commenting on my food.
I hate strangers commenting on my food.
It's like, oh, what are you eating? Is that good? It's like, get the hell away from me.
Oh, yeah.
That's really funny because I like that.
You like that?
You do?
Really? I hate that. That's where we diverge, yeah.
I do not want you part of that. This is just me time.
I agree. Yeah. I don't even want you to look at my food.
Don't look at me.
Don't look at me. You know, of course.
Don't even look at my utensils.
My argument is that it's just sort of like a compliment. Like, I always take it as, oh, I made a good choice.
Oh, no. So like a wait. I guess if a waiter says, "Still, I get such a rise out. It's positive vibes, baby."
I hate it
when I'm like, you know what? I'll just get the chicken, whatever. And they're like, "Ooh, good choice. Good. That's one of my personal favorites. I work here. How do you even know? I know. Wait. I've had everything." And that's
are you saying you do like it? You're saying it's a positive.
Yeah. When a waiter does
you
that,
just wrote the most perfect bit of all time. If it's that is so funny and it's so true. Like you're like, yeah, that's right. That's right. It's a chicken parmesan. I chose it.
Yeah. Wow. Are you in the culinary industry? How would you know ahead of time? You just picked it because of the ingredients and you just grew up.
Oh, what taste? Are you French?
And then he's like, "Did you save room for dessert?" And it's like, "No, I'm drinking vodka, you idiot. That's my sugar." And then I flip the table. I make things terrible.
One time I was silly.
We still don't know what the $60 night is.
We'll absolutely tell you. But
oh, great. Okay.
Just really quick, what started my hatred of people looking into my food is I was at Fisherman's Wharf, and huge mistake. And I was like, I just, you know what? I don't know what it is, what's in the air. I feel like a lobster bisque. And I get this lobster bisque, and it is lime green. It was like Nickelodeon lime green.
What?
In a bread bowl. I'm sitting outside.
What's it, St. Patrick's Day?
It's not St. Patrick's Day. I don't know why. They spiked my this. I don't know what happened to the lobster, but she's green. And, and all these tourists are walking by, and I'm seated like on the sidewalk. People keep looking in past like, there's like a little railing area protecting me from the elements. Mm-hmm. And people are just teetering over the railing, trying to get into my lobster bisque. I know it's an uncomfortable color. I understand. I'll be the first to admit it. It shouldn't be green, but people are basically dipping their noses into my bisque, breaking their backs to comment on it, to be like, "Why? What is that?" And ever since then, I have this aversion. I don't even want to eat outside. I don't want anybody to look at my food. I would rather be alone in the closet in the dark. Okay. I don't want commentary.
It's all based on being traumatized after getting very, very sick from eating green bisque.
I felt better than I had in years.
Okay. Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. Rejuvenating. It was a rejuvenating basil lobster bisque. Wait, I think because of my San Francisco outside experience, like when, especially in LA, I'm like, I will not eat outside. It's just, LA is like, eating outside is like, why don't we go to Jiffy Lube and eat in the waiting room where it smells like tires? Like,
absolutely.
Same thing in outside LA. Stop pretending LA is in any way nice,
exactly.
Especially on the east side, to eat outside, unless you're at that place that's like got a secret tree and it's surrounded on all sides. But like, other than that, no fucking, what are you talking about?
You talking
I don't want to eat while someone parallel parks next
you gotta
to you.
Put up planters or buy some parking spaces. Down at the street here, they're just throwing down tables.
Anywhere.
Feces.
Next to feces.
And I'm supposed to enjoy my green bisque? No, thank you.
I'm taking my green bisque indoors. Sorry.
Yeah, that sounds like the worst.
Oh my God.
Wait, Anna, did you actually live in the city or did you just go up there?
I did. I lived there for a bit. Like, I lived there after I moved there for college, and then I lived there until I was, I want to say, 27. So yeah, summer.
The night I met you, like I drove you around that city. We had a show somewhere.
We did the business at the dark room.
I do believe, wasn't there, speaking of shit on the floor, a dog or something had pooped on the stage. Do you remember this?
Yes. Oh my God.
And I was like, I was getting laughs, and I'm like, that's not even the punchline. They were just laughing that I was dancing around this mystery turd because it was a theater, had a theater dog with a indigestion, whatever.
Oh, no.
And then we drove to the next place.
Yes.
Like, yeah, very good memory.
Yeah.
I mean, little things that don't matter. Did I remember to do my taxes this year? No. But do I vividly recall a turd on the stage?
But Kyle, imagine you're doing a show, you're having the set of a lifetime. You're gigging. Okay.
The blood is pumping in your brain, making you remember. Yeah.
You're on your tiptoes. Adrenaline. Your neck is thick with adrenaline. Someone takes a shit next to you on the stage.
You remember that.
You remember that.
Okay. I guess so.
Kyle, how long did you live in San Francisco?
I was born in San Francisco, so I was there.
Are you a native?
I'm a native, yeah.
What hospital were you born in?
Oh, I couldn't tell you that.
So you're lying. You're lying. You were born in Martinez.
I was born in somewhere else.
San Jacinto.
Sorry.
I'm born there. My dad is a generation of San Franciscan. So I guess I'm second generation San Franciscan. And then I just left for college. So I was there for a while.
Okay. I was born at St. Luke's. I just wanted you to say I was born at St. Luke's so we could both scream and
were you born at St. Luke's?
St. Luke's. What? Oh my God.
15 years after me.
Well, I was born, and no one's asking, but everyone always calls. Monterey is a bay. Monterey Bay. And my parents called that the Bay Area when I was little, and I guess they were wrong because that.
Well, for Central California, it's the Bay. It's just a different thing, but.
Yeah, but I've been telling people when they refer to the Bay Area, they're usually talking San Francisco, and I was like, "Oh, I was born there," and then they're like, "Oh, really?" And then they ask me the hospital, and I'm like, "I was born in Carmel," and they're like, "Why'd you lie to me then?"
Stop trying to.
Yeah, there's more than one Bay.
Do you guys want to talk about your new podcast?
Let's do that.
We definitely do. Can we also quickly, can we tell you about the bar?
Oh, we should tell you what we do for $60.
Is that okay?
Oh my God.
Is that okay? Yes.
This is really going to be the most frustrating episode. Yeah. Everyone's on the edge of their seat.
But here's you're natural podcasters because you're drawing it out so people have to stay all the way through for the $60 story.
After these messages, we'll tell you what the $60 was spent on. Here's a music.
We'll be right back.
And we're back.
Oh my God.
Anna, so $60.
Okay, $60. Okay.
It wasn't balloons. It was not pizza.
Some balloons are pizza.
Cool pizza.
Okay, it was cool pizza. Okay, I don't know what the origin of this is.
I think it's that, you know, we both want to have a nightlife, but I don't drink, Anna doesn't drink a lot.
Yeah.
So we want to be out there, but...
And we want to rock.
But we also have a rock side, so, I mean, that's just a very specific kind of thing that we're trying to get. So we started going to the Viper Room, I mean, that's why it's really expensive because there's usually like a $20 cover.
You're looking at a $20 cover. You're looking at, you want to park your car somewhere on the strip? That's at least $20.
You want at least a soda water? That's
$20 right there. So we went to the Viper Room. I don't remember how the first time, but we immediately fell in love and we got to come back here every Friday night.
Well, the crazy thing is we saw this band. This is crazy, but we saw this band. I can't tell you what this band, who they were, but they didn't obey the rules of the stage and were performing on the tables, were performing like where we were standing. And I was terrified.
I have a video of Kyle screaming because they just wouldn't obey. They just took the edges of the stage as a soft suggestion for where one might want to perform. They go, I see the rules and I'm going to break them. I'm going to walk on the table. They walked on the bar so many times that the bartenders stopped paying attention. And it's just started serving drinks over the people walking in the bar.
And the whole time Kyle's yelling, you're not obeying the rules of this day.
Kyle was like, why are they so close to me? Why? I thought this was safe.
Show business is a discipline. What are you doing?
It's so funny.
It's not allowed.
It's not allowed. I mean, every aspect of the Viper Room from the time you're near the building, because there's a door woman
whose voice is kind of like this.
And she's like, everyone's in a costume and the costume is rock and roll. And you're just like, This place was absolutely developed by Johnny Depp. I love this.
Yeah. Yeah.
This woman is like, let me see your ID and then let me see your bag to see what kind of bullshit you have in there. And you're like, what kind of bullshit I have in my bag? And then she's like, all right, get in and the bar's open so you can go get a Jack and Coke or a Jack and Diet Coke. And that's it.
That was her rock and roll door joke?
That's it. That's her joke. So we have a little system, which is I'll let you tell them the system.
Oh, wait, how many times have you guys gone?
So many.
Before the pandemic, that was kind of the biggest bummer because it was kind of our nightlife. So when the pandemic hit, it was like, okay, we can't go to the Viper Room.
Go to the Viper Room, yeah.
I wish people could see what I look like because I do stick out like a sore thumb there.
She really does.
It is very funny to me. If you guys are being serious, I kind of thought you were kidding.
No.
Did you regularly go to the wannabe rock and roll? It's the most hilarious place ever.
They you must think you're like Rolling Stone journalists or doing research
you're the kid from Almost Famous.
I go to Cambridge and I'm just here to do research.
Exactly. You're the fire inspectors. You're just there to get a head count.
I'm actually OSHA. I'm an OSHA. Just go, this isn't compliant. Okay.
So what we do beforehand was we're like, it's not fun if we don't know the bands. Like, and sometimes there's not a lot of people there. So we're like, what if we see the lineup? We're saying, like, we will go see this group called God Save Me. I just made that name up. Just
you did it. That's a very probable name.
What is there? Yeah. And then before we go there, we'll just listen to the whole album. Their whole album and really like understand like the kind of music, try to memorize some of the lines. Mm-hmm. So then when we get there and sometimes the audiences are very small. We just like being able to sing the songs back to them.
Yep. And they're like, so you're impersonating fans.
Yes.
Wow.
We've become fans though.
We've become fans because it's almost like we've studied so diligently the lyrics of a song that it doesn't even really, at a certain point, the lines blur and it doesn't even matter if you really like them. By the time Wolf Eyes comes on and you go, this is Wolf Eyes. We studied this. Then you really are a fan at that point.
Yeah.
It really is amazing.
That is the most innocent and heartwarming. I still don't all the way believe you're doing it.
We were constantly doing this.
It is a very wholesome thing to do.
Got well, it. Also to do it. To do it soberly is so funny.
That's
because
funny.
It's not like you're just like fucking around and like, whatever. We just need to be at a bar. It's like you're going and going, we are here to participate in the Viper Room experience.
Yes.
Whatever that might be tonight.
Well, like, that's why when you said that you earnestly got people to start dancing and to earnestly, you know, nobody was really worried about looking cool. I mean, it's not exactly the same because what I will say with confidence about everybody at the Viper Room is that they're just entirely worried about looking cool. That's all they're really there to do.
Yeah.
But if you're like, I love it, you're singing, then, you know, usually we'll get some looks and then people will be like, actually, you know what? Hey. Come to think of it, I love singing too.
You know what? Guys, I'm going to take off my studded jacket and start acting like myself.
Yeah. You know what? This is all a mask. And I'm here to be myself tonight like these two young reporters.
Yeah. And they all put on a cardigan sweater.
This is who I really am.
Thank you two journalists. Print is not dead.
Oh my God.
I love it. And the band wouldn't assume, unless you're really laughing while doing it, they're just thinking,
these girls fucking
cool,
love
those girls
us.
That knew the songs.
Well, there was one band where they didn't have the last time they put out an EP was, I mean, it's with a heavy heart that I announced that they haven't put out an EP since 2013.
Oh,
and so they were playing some songs and we were like requesting songs, you know, we were like Vector of Your Heart or whatever. And they were like, Vector of Your Heart. We haven't played that since 2011. Okay.
But they did not think you were making fun of them.
No.
They're just like, all right, guys, try and keep up.
Damn, dude. Yep. They've been with us since Vector of Your Heart. Up your heart.
I hope Vector of Your Heart is about getting a JPEG photo and vectorizing it to use in Illustrator. It's like a graphic design song.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's the best.
Shit. Oh, I love that. I mean, first of all, you already made the mistake of inviting me, so no, I'm coming. Going to be going you're this coming. Time.
Oh, yeah.
Here's what I used in bars in Missoula, and with one specific friend, my buddy Kevin, we would go in and fake fight each other, like throw each other over stools. I would actually be punching him, but not hard. But you can make everyone watching. If you hit someone in the face and then you throw them over something and everything spills, everyone would freak out. But we were laughing it was so hard not to laugh. So we're laughing and fighting. But the fighting looked real enough that they ignored the laugh. They just thought we were crazy. And then we'd leave. We wouldn't break anything, but that's kind of fun because then everyone else would start fighting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I didn't stick around that long. I don't know.
Okay.
It always happens in a movie. If you're fighting, everyone else,
yep.
All of a sudden, Terry Bradshaw shoves some guy's head into a jukebox, and then the bartender's like, fuck it. And he breaks a bottle on.
You know, he pulls out a shotgun.
Yeah, of course they have a gun behind the bar. There's a lady at the front door that just starts making out with someone, and then she punches another lady. It's like, oh, it's so... I don't know that ever happened. We just got confused. Because you got to get in and out when you do a fake fight.
Yeah, true. But
yeah, to be honest, that was also sober behavior. I think it's an innocent thing to soberly go into a bar.
Yeah.
And outdo everyone with bar behavior.
Yes.
Yep. And then leave like, haha, they believed us.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I really, it also kind of what you guys are doing. I know that you're telling that story because that idea, starting a business where it's like, we will send cool people around to your dumb thing and start fun to happen. Cause you can't rely on just, you know, your average group of five people to be fun or have fun. Like, I mean, not to say, there are plenty of fun people out there, but so many people feel oppressed by society's, you know, judgmental eye looking at them.
Yeah.
But like the idea that you'd be like, for $500, I'm going to send four loud girls into your shitty bar at right around 10:45.
Yes.
And all of a sudden you're going to go to next level bar party.
Wow. Yeah,
you know what I mean? Cause that's really what it takes, right?
Absolutely. We got to team up with you.
I hate you bringing this dancing. Up again.
I've got ideas.
Yeah.
Well, now, so the $60.
Okay.
Was that spent? Have we spent that yet? Is that spending it on MP3s so you can memorize lyrics? Have so you spent the $60 yet?
We're supporting the artist on Bandcamp. That's like $50 okay. right there. Okay.
Yeah, okay. So okay.
No, $20 cover, $20 gotcha. To park the your cover. Car across the street.
Okay.
And then,
of course, there's a cover.
Beverages, yeah, parking. A soda.
Of soda. Yeah.
I assumed it was a free show and you were just paying to have the tables cleaned because the band had dirty boots.
You are the joke of the town if you think you're going. You are a jester, Chris, if you think you're going up to Viper Room and they're letting you in for free. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
on
yeah,
what planet?
No way.
Yeah,
no way.
I mean,
no
it's
way.
Eight bands, for God's sake. What a value.
It is such a value. I mean, they could charge me. I would pay 30 because of the amount of fun you're having. I mean, this is my Disneyland. it's a bargain at twice the price. We even in the beginning of the pandemic, when people were trying to have fun with Instagram Live, I don't know if you remember that brief period.
Yeah. Yeah.
Period of time, we put together a, play. About, oh my God. We put together a play because Instagram, you could split your screen into two when you go live with two people.
Oh, yeah.
So we go, let's utilize this format. We're going to be on bunk beds, and we're on bunk beds on a tour bus that's going to the Viper Room. That was our play.
Yeah. I think like 5 people watched, but we really worked really hard on it.
How much money went into this?
Oh,
$60.
Lots of ops.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
We were doing things that were like, we're passing down a pill bottle from the top bunk to the bottom bunk.
Oh, and then
back
wow.
up. Here you go. Can you actually take this pill bottle back?
Oh, we so did, you we both had to that. Have a pill bottle. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like it.
We wrote a play about being a band that strives to be at the Viper Room.
That's hilarious.
I mean, we really got to bring that back now that we've saved our stages.
Yeah.
That's right.
We want to do a Viper Room musical. I don't know if that's okay, if that's copyright. Well, you know what's nice is we just discovered horror fan bases, and it's modest, and it's you know, shy in numbers, but it's just quiet.
Wait, you discovered
the
what?
The what fan bases?
Our fan base.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's shy dads. I don't know what that's it is.
It's really weird.
It's like a dad who's, I don't know if they're divorced.
Well, actually, I don't want to say weird because
we welcome you.
We accept
you.
Absolutely.
Keep them coming. But but they are dads.
Shy dads.
They're shy. Kyle had a theory that maybe they're like living vicariously through us.
Mm. Yeah. Watching you go investigate things.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. There. I just went to Denver, and our fans, Karen, are so, they're the sweetest people. I'm so relaxed because they're just nice people, and there's no drunk bros.
Karen,
there's no bros.
The amount of people, there's no one more, like, people that I know from, not comedy at all, like pre-comedy, maybe like the most from, you know, other like cities where I've lived or whatever, people that are not tied to comedy at all, always are like Karen Kilgariff. Karen.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and they pronounce it correctly, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Very much correct.
Kilgariff.
Yeah, Kilgariff.
Oh, that's it. They just call you and say that and then hang up the phone.
Yeah. I go, how'd you get my number?
We have, why are you doing this?
You're calling collect from Canada? I mean, come on.
It is interesting. I want to know why shy dads go to yours.
I love that.
Because Karen, it's nice.
I'd say ours are bold moms. I mean, it's always people that like they're, because of podcasting makes people think, you know, it's like we know each other because I hang out with you. Mm-hmm. So it's like familiar, and it's always people that, like when I meet them, like the first time we went to do a meet and greet, which I'd never done anything like that before. Mm-hmm. And I was like, the second we were walking toward it, and then I went, oh my God, what are we doing? This is going to be so creepy and this is going to be so scary. And the second it started, it was just person after person that I was like, it feels like I know this person.
Yeah.
Aww. And they do know truly you. Like know how to talk to you or just normal. They don't have an odd energy. Yep. Like every one of them is like, are you friends with my sister? Did I go to camp with you? Yeah. Like, how do I know you?
That's a better way. I'm just saying they're nice and bring me comfort, but it's exactly that. They fucking know me in a weird way. And it's like, oh, I do have friends. And then I leave town and I never see them again.
Yeah.
Every city's like a 12 breakups with friends.
Yeah. Well, guys,
well,
do you have anything else you need to cover? I mean, I feel like there was no plan. There was, you know, did you need to promote anything in particular?
No. No. Really, no.
Well, we have a podcast.
We have a podcast.
We should at least just say the name of it.
Okay, go for it.
And it's called Truth Hounds.
Nice.
We say it together.
And it's just an opportunity for us to go out in the real world and try to investigate things.
Really, the genesis of the investigation is I would even say experiences like going to the Viper Room where we're like, what is that?
Yeah.
And how do we recreate that in other aspects of our lives? So it's like an excuse for us to get to do fun stuff.
Yeah. It's like it's sociology, but kind of like X-Files, because you're investigating and searching for the truth because it's out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an opportunity for us to do fun stuff that's not really great on a podcast.
Yeah. Totally. Absolutely. It's very visually dependent. So season 2.
I had fun on it.
Oh, you were our first celebrity. You were even our only celebrity.
So, probably the only one that will ever go on.
It's true. You were great.
It was really fun. And it hadn't come out yet, or there was no like way to reference it. So they gave me, it was really fun. They're like, so we're going to be doing this. It was like, I just got the guidelines of what your podcast reality was. And then you're just like, and just play along however you and so choose. It was really funny.
We interviewed you, if you remember, about what it's like to be mean. So,
That's right.
We really sat
and there was
down.
A lot of like apologizing beforehand and like, look, it's not like people were telling us you're mean. I'm like, no, you can skip all this. I absolutely very proudly identify as a mean person. Yes.
Well, you were the most insightful. And then the conclusion we came to in our investigation is that you're actually not mean. So, I don't know.
Right?
Yeah, that's a bit of a spoiler. Yeah.
That's the big secret. That's the big
secret.
Deep,
total
dark secret.
Emotional softy. Yeah.
But a little spiky on the outside.
Until you know someone or they happen to oddly know you through your podcast.
Through your podcast, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Well, fun. Congratulations, you guys. I'm glad you started a podcast.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Great job. It was so fun to talk to you.
It was so fun.
I'm just thinking back. Let's recap some of the memories. No, that would take a long time. Well, thank you for being on.
Thank you for having
us. And I'm sorry I won't be seeing you in the neighborhood anymore.
I'll come back and loiter by your garage regardless.
Yeah, that's what I was fishing and you took the bait.
Perfect.
See you down there.
It's
wearing
a plan.
What I believe at the time you were wearing it's almost a trench coat.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. See you in your trench coat by my garage.
See you in my trench coat.
Yeah. You guys have been great. Good to see you all.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Nice to see you.
Here's my conclusionary thing that I always do. You've been listening to Do You Need a Bride? DYN.
AR!
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date. Terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouthhorn.
With Karen and Chris.